Hello, everyone. I am Sam Hansen.
And I'm Sadie Witkowski.
And you're listening to Carry the Two, a podcast from the Institute for Mathematical and Statistical Innovation, aka IMSI.
This is the podcast where Sam and I talk about the real-world applications of mathematical and statistical research. Hey, Sam. I'm so excited to be back and to take another journey into the mathematics and statistics of gambling with you today.
As I am with you. And let's not forget our guide, David Taylor, mathematician, assistant vice president at SUNY Erie, and author of the book, Mathematics of Gambling and Games, An Introduction to Mathematics.
Of course. I would never forget about our intrepid guide, David. And where is David leading us today?
To a land of bright lights, free drinks, overwhelming sound, and lost wages.
I can hear the strip calling. Casinos?
Casinos!
You can pull the lever, all those things. I mean, you feel like you have some control. And in a way, you have a little bit of control because, you know, one of the things that goes into your outcome is a random number. And typically, the random numbers that are used sometimes are based on what time is used. That's a seed for a random number generator in most instances. So if you pull the handle now versus in a little bit, that could factor in.
David is, of course, speaking about the storied one-armed bandit, the slot machine.
Yeah, and starting right in there with some math this time, aren't we?
Yes. Most slots these days are computerized, which means that the final results you see on the screen are the results of code running in the background. And one of the ways to make sure that that code is not predictable, and no casino wants their games to be predictable, so the code has to be not predictable, and that means using some sort of random input. In this case, the timing of the player pulling the arm or hitting a button for that random seed.
Wow. So even before we start looking at the money or expected value part that we focused on so much last episode, casinos are already using math.
Well, in the case of slot machines, we're actually talking about the companies that create them, not the casinos themselves. And those companies also care a lot about expected values, especially as they operate under oversight.
There are regulations, so, you know, that's another thing to look into is what the gaming corporations or the Gaming Control Board in Nevada and other organizations keep in mind is, you know, usually if you say a machine is going to pay out 90% of what's wagered, it has to do that over a certain amount of time.
Which is why David says,
you know, all of these things factor in, which is probably why they want to hire mathematicians.
Honestly, I read a horror novel where the premise was focused on understanding randomness at a casino, and the main character was a statistician. So I guess this isn't so surprising.
Yeah. In fact, I even interviewed with a gambling machine company before I decided to go down the mathematics podcast route.
Whoa. And how do you feel about that choice?
That I probably left some money on the table? But I do much prefer to be talking about these machines instead of designing them, especially given how complicated they've become over the years. But before we talk about modern machines, let's talk about the good old-fashioned three-wheel slots.
You've got nine symbols on a wheel, and you've got three wheels. You know, 9 times 9 times 9 is, 81 times 9. You're getting to, 729. So there are only 729 outcomes for the slot machine. Period.
Okay. That is a lot fewer outcomes than I thought a slot machine would have. And then once you have one of your outcomes, you just check if there are any matching values across the middle row?
Not quite. Even those traditional machines have some added complexity.
So, you know, traditionally you'll see a slot machine, the left wheel, you'll see three outcomes, three outcomes, three outcomes. So 3 times 3 times 3 is 27. So this machine might say there's 27 lines. You spin the wheel and depending upon which of the lines hits, you get your payout. Now, if you hit all sevens, you get paid out on all 27 lines. Everyone goes happy and there's a jackpot.
Wait. Multiple lines?
Yes. Sorry, I'll slow us down here. A line is a path across the wheels where you can match symbols for a win. The center row is the most obvious, but many machines will give you a chance to also play, say, the top and bottom rows, or the top left, middle center, bottom right, or any other way that you can draw a line across the wheels.
Okay, like tic-tac-toe. I get it.
You might want to wait on that, as the move to computerized slots has complicated your options.
Come on!
Sorry, and that complexity can come in a few different areas, The first are the wheels themselves.
The computer can have a larger version of this wheel. So just because the wheel has these 9 or 10 or 20 symbols in a specific order doesn't mean that this is the wheel that the system is actually using, because it could take segments of this wheel and multiply them on a virtual wheel that it's having in memory. So this wheel that might only have 20 symbols in a specific order could be treated as though it's a wheel with 400 symbols in a predefined order.
And then there's the number of wheels.
A lot of modern slot machines also have 5 wheels. To add some randomness, they also pay off usually only if you start getting symbols that match from left to right.
And then there are the lines.
3 to the 5th, 243 is probably a number you remember if you played slot machines, because that's usually one of those machines where you put your penny in and it says, oh, you're playing all lines, 243 lines.
243? Come on!
Any possible combination from left to right, jumping up and down on symbols. But 243 lines, but if you've got 400 virtual symbols on each thing, 400 to the fifth is a number I'm not going to try to compute off the top of my head.
Thankfully, I don't have to do it off the top of my head and can tell you that it is 10,240,000,000,000,000 possible combinations.
But it's not like only one of those is the winner.
For sure. And as mentioned before, there are regulations about the minimum percentage a machine has to pay back over certain periods of time as well. So as David says about the machines,
some of them will give you different lines. You know, in the middle, it expands, contracts, free games, bonuses. All these things are designed to get you to get something on a spin so you feel like playing.
In psychology, we call this an intermittent reward schedule, because if you feel like you get something, you keep playing.
And keeping you playing is how the mathematics of casinos keeps mathing. David explained it to me talking about a slot machine called Lucky Eights.
But 88 cents is usually what you pay for a spin. It's a penny machine, but you're paying 88 cents because you're getting your 243 lines. Some of it's going into a kitty, and sometimes you get a random bonus feature. Sometimes this thing pops up. But the whole goal is, if you're paying 88 cents a spin and you're getting lights, flashing noises, and it's giving you 60 cents back, you're giving the casino money, but you're getting something back, and you feel that intrinsic, I won something, let me keep playing.
Oh, wow. Casinos really do know all the tricks. Giving just enough back so that people feel like they're winning, enough to keep them playing.
It is tricky, for sure. But if you go into the casino with a clear understanding of the mathematics of it, I don't know if it's really that bad of a deal.
How so?
Well, how often do you pay for entertainment?
Me personally? Well, there's the streaming companies for TV, movies, and music, as well as the movie and concert tickets and video games. And I guess you could also include the public radio donations.
Yeah, okay. So how about we just go with a lot?
A lot sounds good.
So if you think of the slot machines as an entertainment product, like an arcade game, then you could think of that lost money as just paying for the entertainment of the lights and the noises and the bonus rounds, as well as that little charge you get from nearly winning.
Okay, I can see that argument and would even agree, except I don't know how many people there are going to a casino and considering if the entertainment value of a machine is worth enough to cover its expected value deficit.
That's a good point, though hopefully there will be a few more after they hear this episode.
Hopefully. So where next?
Well, David's going to take us past the machines and onto the main casino floor. But first,
we're going to share a different University of Chicago Podcast Network show with our audience.
You got it. If you're tired of hearing the same stories about climate and energy, there's a new UCPN podcast that you should check out. It's called Shocked. Each episode, you'll hear journalist Amy Harder and economist Michael Greenstone share new ways of thinking about climate change and cutting-edge solutions, like changing the Earth's atmosphere, making batteries out of sodium, and using AI to predict the weather. To listen to Shocked, search Shocked in your podcast app. That's Shocked.
You know, if we start with roulette is probably the simplest of the games.
Oh, I have always wanted to spin a roulette wheel. It just looks so satisfying.
It really does. But There may be some people out there who don't actually know what we're talking about, so we should probably explain to them what roulette is.
Okay, so there's this big wheel that is sectioned off into alternating red and black pockets. They're numbered 1 through 36. And then there's two green areas that are 0 and 00.
This wheel is then spun and a ball is pushed along a track in the opposite direction of the spin until eventually that ball comes to rest in one of those pockets.
Okay. We've actually reached the end of my roulette knowledge now. I don't really know how the bets work.
Me either. So good thing that we have our guide, David.
So if you think about, you know, the payout table, you bet on a single number. Let's say you bet on 17. You know, to be a fair game, since there are 38 possible outcomes, you know, the payout should be reflective of 38 outcomes, not fewer than that. But you actually, if you pay a dollar and win on 17, they don't give you $38, they give you $36.
Which brings us to an important fact.
The house always wins isn't because, I was going to say, it's not because they want to. That's entirely true. They want to. But the game is set up in a way where the payout is not entirely commensurate with expected value.
For example,
if you look at pretty much every single roulette wager, whether it's betting on red, red seems like a 50-50. But the two green numbers mess with that.
Yep, more trickiness in game design, I see.
Yeah, and that's before even jumping into some of the ways in which we're just not great at intuiting probability either.
Each spin of the wheel is independent of the others, so even if you see 5, 10 black numbers in a row, you know, human nature intuition says, on one hand, red is due. On the other hand, half the other people would say black is hot.
Oh, and I remember that independence means that previous results have no impact on future results.
Exactly. So mathematically, no color is hot, nor due. It's just our brains trying to put a story in place.
Stupid stories.
Hey, if it weren't for stories, we'd both be out of jobs.
Okay, fair.
So all this means that when you dig into gambling on roulette, most of the bets have the same expected value.
But every single wager in roulette except for the 1, 2, 3, single zero, double zero, five-way bet, which is worse, the worst bet you can do, don't ever do that, has a house advantage of about 5.2 cents a wager.
You know, that's a smaller advantage than I was expecting.
Yeah, casinos are definitely a volume industry.
That's for sure. Speaking of, aren't there more games that we could talk about?
There are. But those are going to have to wait for our next episode.
Ooh, can't wait.
So if you or someone you know is struggling with a gambling problem, help is available. The National Council on Problem Gambling provides a range of resources, including the National Gambling Helpline, which you can reach at 1-800-MY-RESET to help connect you with local resources. Don't forget to check out our show notes in the podcast description for more about David's work and a link to his book.
And if you like the show, give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. By rating and reviewing the show, you really help us spread the word about Carry the Two so that other listeners can discover us.
And for more on the math research being shared at MC, be sure to check us out online at our homepage, mc.institute. We're also on Blue Sky at mc.institute, as well as Instagram at mc.institute. That's MC spelled I-M-S-I.
And do you have a burning math question? Maybe you have an idea for a story on how mathematics and statistics connect with the world around us. Send us an email with your idea.
You can send your feedback, ideas, and more to sam@mc.institute. That's sam@imsi.institute.
We'd also like to thank Blue Dot Sessions for the music we use in Carry the Two.
Lastly, Carry the Two is made possible by the Institute for Mathematical and Statistical Innovation, located on the gorgeous campus of the University of Chicago. We are supported by the U.S. National Science Foundation and the University of Chicago.
I'm super excited. Oh, that sounded so corny.
We'd like to dank.
We'd like to dank. We're real dank on.
This is a terribly written sentence.
Okay. Do you want me to redo it? So, hello, Sam. I'm your ChatGPT.
Hi.
Well. Boo.